Good morning. Hey. Good morning, everyone. It's great to see you here. Thanks for coming along this morning. It's a very special morning as Roger and Les just sort of publicly declare that they're following Jesus. It's great. And we'll explain things as we go along. Just to say, if you're a visitor here, we want to give you a very special welcome, warm, slightly humid welcome to Godstone Baptist Church. My name's Phil Hughes. I'm the older minister here. The handsome one, and Martin over there with a beard is the other one. So we're really glad you've come along. I'll be leading the service, and Martin's going to be preaching a little bit later, and then we're going to be baptizing Roger and Les. And we just want to say, make yourself at home. We're a very informal church. You don't have to stand on ceremony or tradition. Just enjoy yourself. There's going to be an offering later on. If you're a visitor, we wouldn't expect you to put anything in it. Isn't that great? What a bargain. The church doesn't want your money. It's okay. So just let it pass by. It's really for folks who are members and attenders of the church who support it. So just don't worry about things like that. And just enjoy the service. And thanks for coming along. So it's great. We're going to begin. The psalmist says that we should praise the Lord, that we should sing praises to him every morning. And we're going to begin in that way. And I'm going to hand over to the band. Maybe you'd like to stand with us and join in with the songs. If you don't know them, don't worry. Hum along. Just follow the words. That's all right. Just enjoy yourself.
And I'll praise you, and I'll praise you, and I'll praise you. are already here. You're in our hearts. You're in this place. You are wherever we go, and we praise your name for that. We welcome you here today, and thank you that your name is holy. You are Lord God Almighty, and we stand, lift up our hands to praise you. Song says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. You came to save us. You came down to live on this earth, to die on the cross, and to be risen again, to take away our sins so we can know you and call you Lord and Savior of our lives. Thank you. Shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found. And as we sing here now, when I stand before your throne, dressed in glory and not my own, that's when we'll be able to worship him freely. No more sin, no more pain, no more tears, no more shame.
Stand before your throne, dressed in glory, not my own. Lord, a joy I'll sing of on that day. No more tears or broken dreams, the garden is a minor key. Everything as it was meant to. Thank you.
We have a hope for the future. Amen.
Amen. We're going to take up our offering right now, but just before we do, young people are heading off to various groups or Sunday school groups, and they're going to head off now, and we'll take up our offering at the same time. Is that okay? So we're going to do that. A bit of chaos for 5 minutes. Here we go. Have fun, you guys, and have a great time. Give thanks, shall we? Father, we want to thank you for your generosity to us as people. Every day we have things that we just take for granted, and yet you call us to be grateful every moment of every day. Thank you for your blessings on our lives. Thank you for life itself, and thank you for all the other gifts that we don't deserve. And we give this offering to you just to say thank you for all that you are, not only all that you give. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Welcome to Godstone Baptist Church. It's great to have you here. If you want to know what's going on in the church at any point, you should have got one of those at some point. And some notices flashing around on top of the on the screen there. If you're interested in some of the items in there, I have bits of paper for you, which would be helpful, gives you a bit more detail. So if you're interested in the parent talk seminar going on in Croydon on the 19th, if you're thinking of going along, we have some little flyers. So that's for all parents, just some practical help and advice from people like Rob Parsons, OBE, people like that, who are doing an event up in Croydon this week. Also, you may have spotted in there, there's a 50th anniversary of a family that were very special and very honoured in this fellowship. In the 50 years ago, a family, the Sharp family, the son and wife and their three children of the minister at that time, Edwin Sharp, from this church, went out to the Congo to serve God as missionaries. And all five of them lost their lives in an uprising there in the Congo. It's 50 years since that happened, and there's a special celebration going on over in Reading. Now, the notice is in the back of the sheet there, but if you want to go, I also have a little invitation, a little letter from UFM, the organisation that they went out with 50 years ago, and they're remembering all the missionaries who died in that terrible circumstance back in the Congo. Many folks have served God and lost their lives for it. And these guys, we honour the Sharp family. And if you'd like to go and just remember them and give thanks for their witness to us, then just see me. I've got a letter there. Hopefully that will help you. Church members, there's a church members meeting on Tuesday, 8 o'clock. So hopefully if you're around, you can come along and we'll just talk about what's going on in the fellowship and any decisions we need to make. There's also a couple of things going on this week we want to advise you of. Nikki's dad, his crematorium service is happening this week at 11:30 at Surrey and Sussex Crematorium over in Crawley. That's 11:30 on Thursday. So just to let you know about that, I have details if you want it. And we also found out this week about Wendy. Wendy Jarvis died this week in hospital. As you know, Wendy had liver cancer, terminal liver cancer, and was really waiting for the Lord. And it's a privilege to sit by her and just spend some time with her. But she's now with the Lord, which is wonderful, but difficult for the family left behind. Her committal service is on the 28th of November, and that will be in Croydon. That will be in Croydon at 1:30 p.m. So again, if you just need to make a note of that, or you want to ask, just ask at the end of the service and we'll remind you of that. 28th of November, I think it's a Friday in Croydon. Okay. Other events going on, there's lots of them at the moment, and one of them is, hang on, I've got to click through this, haven't I? Oh, it's going through anyway, there we go. Go back one, there you go. That's going on, and that's on the 29th of November, and we have some little flyers there, if you want to take one, they're down here. And just encourage you, as that is the day before Advent. Advent, if you don't know, is a 4-week leading up to Christmas Day, and traditionally it's been a time where folks stop a little bit and pause and think about the momentous event that God might come and live among us as Jesus, as we celebrate every Christmas time. So we're going to be thinking about that, but there's a great sort of bit of a knees up, really. It's a celebratory event. It's an opportunity to invite friends and family and colleagues to church so that they can have fun and they can be reminded of that little lead up towards Christmas. So there's all sorts of things. There's soup and roll lunches, there's a craft fair in here, there's a bouncy castle out there. I'm afraid it's only for the little ones, not for the big ones, but that's out there in the back. There's going to be craft things for the kids. There's going to be free mulled wine, whee, and all sorts of stuff. We've even got a rock choir turning up, and they're going to be out in the car park singing to us. All sorts of things going on. We just would love you to just come along and invite your friends. Come along for a half an hour, 45 minutes, an hour, whatever. Hang around and come along and enjoy that day. Any of the folks organising that want to plug anything specifically that I've forgotten? No, you're right. Great, have I mentioned everything? Great. So do that. We also, oddly enough, we're also doing a thing called Get in the Picture, which basically involves, it sounds mad, but true, it's great. Lots of people do it. We're going to set up a sort of manger scene in the back there. You get to dress up. If you were never in the Christmas Nativity play and you feel miffed, you never got to play Joseph, you never got to play Mary, you get to dress up. Three kings, if you want, it's up to you. All three, if you want. And we're going to take your photo. What happens is we then upload it onto a website called Get in the Picture. You can then use that for all your Christmas publicity, for your Christmas cards, and you can send a personalised you, the family, dressed up. So you can put it on your Facebook, you know, you can send it around, you can email it, you can put it, make Christmas cards with it, but you get it, well, it's all free. We're just going to do that for you. So if you want to come and join us for that, that'll be great. That's happening as well on that day. So have fun. Now, Advent's coming up, so we just want to let you know a few things that are going on, just to prepare you for that momentous day, 25th of December, when God stepped foot on planet Earth. In Jesus, a little baby. So we're going to be celebrating that. We got a 4-week course beginning on the 27th of November. On Thursday at my place at the manse, there will be more mulled wine. Seems to be a theme at the moment, mulled wine. Bit worrying. But there'll be more mulled wine, 8 p.m. at the manse. So we're just going to take 4 Thursdays, probably about an hour, hour and a half, to remember and to get ready to welcome Jesus into the world this Christmas time. So that's what we're going to do. That's 27th. That's in your bulletin, I think, as well. There is also, if I click on, there you go. There's also some other things we want to do. And if you're a parent and you've got little ones, we got some little freebies for you this morning. Love Life, Live Advent, and it's the 4 weeks, and it's a little sort of inspiration to mums, dads, and young kids to do things each week over Advent to just sort of remind yourself every day. And I've got a few of these down here. If you want to take one of those and read them to your kids, I've got readings in and activities that you can do all week, which are great fun. And it just means you can engage with your kids over Advent. Those are free as well. So take one of those away. They're just down the front. They might be a bit soggy by the end, but that's okay. There are some Advent calendars knocking around, and you can order those at Tesco's or whatever. It comes with a little booklet, so you can read to your kids over those four-week period and introduce them to the whole story of Jesus being born for us. So those resources are around as well. We're going to have some of those at the Christmas fair as well. And if you want, I can order you some stuff. It will save on postage. Now, if you want some devotional material this Christmas time, readings every day to prepare you for Christmas, then I'm going to order some. And if you want to join me, then do that. There's a wonderful book called The Dawning of Instructable Joy by John Piper. It's £5. I'll order it for you. Just let me know. Give me your details and I'll get it for you. We've got 2 weeks to get these in. If you're after something a little bit lighter and a bit more devotional, there's Max Lucado in the Manger. That's a brilliant book. 25 readings just to help you every day to remember and to prepare. And there's also a free ebook by John Piper called Good News of Great Joy. And if you're technologically minded or have a Kindle or anything like that, then just download that free and you can just read every day a little bit to remind yourself of what we're preparing for this Christmas time. So lots of things to help you get ready for Christmas and to keep in mind what's most important. So do see me after the service if you want me to order you one of those, and that would be a great pleasure. We shall do that. Okay, Martin's going to come and preach in a few moments, but first let me read to you what he's preaching from, and it's in the book of Acts. Yes. Oh, one more notice. I've forgotten one more notice. There's so many. Yes, carry on, David. Bake off.
So, yeah, so many notices, but one more advanced date for your diary. You all know that, you know, January is a bit of a quiet month with not much happening in the evenings, and so the committee always lays on one of our big socials of the year in January, so I want to give you the first advanced notice of that. Last year, if you remember, you all dressed up for our own version of Downton Abbey. This year, we are doing the great GBC bake-off. Okay?
Sorry. Oh! Oh! What is that?
So, two things that equal. You first of all, in your diary, please block Saturday, 10th of January, 7 o'clock, here in the back hall, for the bake-off. You'll all be the audience, you'll also be the judges, you'll get to taste what people make, and you can help vote on who wins. I will also be doing some sort of activities and games as the bakers bake. But then I also need some contestants who are going to be our bake-off contestants. We're going to watch them bake, have a laugh. Phil's volunteered, so it will be a laugh. I need some other contestants. So that's the details down that side. Unless you bring a friend, so you've got a bit of security there. You can bring a friend and come as a pair. So but I need a number of contestants to come and see me to volunteer. We've got to sort these a few weeks in advance. Minimum age, 13 years old. And I think that's all. So if you come and see me over the next couple of weeks and let me know you'd like to be a contestant or you're willing to be a contestant, then we can set the whole thing up. But please, so two things, block the date and let me know if you'd like to be a contestant, please. Any questions?
Oh, my word. Right, there you go. You get what?
Do we get to eat them afterwards?
I would pray that you don't get to eat the contest, Roger. If I were you. I'm all right with anything savoury, but, ooh, baking? Not really, but yeah, so it should be fun. So come along, when that'll brighten up an otherwise dark January after all the celebrations of Christmas. So we hope you join us for that. Maybe you'd like to turn with me to Acts chapter 8, and we'll be unpacking a little bit about this verse in a while. But Acts chapter 8, and we're going to read about baptism, believe it or not. Acts chapter 8. Should be Bibles floating around there. Pinch somebody else's if you want to.
It's page 774 in the blue Bible.
Nicely done. 774 in the blue Bibles if you've got one of those. That's great. Acts chapter 8. This is a story of a baptism. Let me read it to you. It starts at verse 26. Acts chapter 8. Story of Philip, one of the apostles, one of the 12 disciples. As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, "Go south, down to the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning. Seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. And the Holy Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and walk along beside the carriage." Philip ran over and he heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. Philip asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" The man replied, "How can I, unless someone instructs me?" And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and to sit with him. Now, the passage of scripture he had been reading was this: "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else?" So, beginning with the same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. As they rode along, they came to some water. The eunuch said, "Look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized?" He ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch never saw him again, but he went on his way rejoicing. Meanwhile, Philip found himself further north of the town of Azotus. He preached the good news there and in every town along the way until he came to Caesarea. Martin's just going to explain that in a moment, but we've got a couple of songs in our service that Roger and Les have picked, and we're going to sing now one that Les has picked, one of his favourites. It's a wonderful old hymn called "The Old Rugged Cross." No doubt the story that was told to that eunuch of a cross and of a Messiah and of forgiveness. So shall we stand together and let's sing before we look to God's word.
Let's go. So as Phil said, I'm Martin. I'm the assistant minister here, or student minister, or however you like to think of me. The other minister seems to work just fine. And it's a real pleasure to come and take the time today to just look at that passage that Phil read and say, what does that say? What might God have to say to us about that passage? What might he have to say through it? And I'm going to have a few pictures up on the screen that hopefully will help us. I'm going to use a bit of video right at the end to try and bring out some of what it means to be baptized, why we have water, and why we're going to fully submerge Roger and Les right under the water, nose and everything, and all the way back out in their clothes. Why are we doing such a crazy, ridiculous thing as that? And hopefully I'll be able to try and explain some of that. And I want to kind of ask you a couple of questions as well, and see if there's any response that you want to have as well. So, in that story, we heard about a man called Philip, and he met an Ethiopian eunuch on a road. Let's have the first couple of slides. Okay, so I've called my sermon A Step Along the Road. So, okay, here's a map. Now, this is where, or around about here, between Jerusalem and Gaza, so this kind of little here, that's roughly the road along which Philip and the eunuch were travelling. Okay? Now, Ethiopia in a modern map, and this is a modern map that I put up here, is actually kind of down about here on the wall somewhere. But Ethiopia in biblical times, okay, is actually referring to what is now Sudan. And the place that we think that this queen, Candace, would have had her seat, her throne, was in a place called Meroe. And Meroe still exists, it's just outside of Khartoum, and it's roughly somewhere where that big red splotch is on the board. Okay, so the Ethiopian eunuch had travelled, and it says he travelled to worship in Jerusalem. He'd gone all the way up here, and all the way along here, there, just to go to church. Okay? That's, how many miles do you think that is? No, sorry, actually, I don't know it in miles. How many kilometres do you think that is? I haven't put a, oh, there is a scale on that map. You could almost cheat. It's twice as far as that. It's 3,000 kilometres. It would have taken him, no cars, no planes, nothing like that, 3 months. 3 months in a chariot to get from A to B. Okay? So he's gone a long way. So it must be something special. Must be an amazing church. Whoa. Okay, no, right? So, I bet none of you came 3 months journey to come to Godston Baptist Church this morning. But there's something special. There has to be something special. Why would he go to Jerusalem? Why would a man from Ethiopia go to Jerusalem? And the other thing that's interesting is it says that while he's on the road, he's reading scripture. And that scripture that he's reading, we can actually find in our Bible. Now, I don't just mean the bit that it says this is what he was reading. If you turn back to Isaiah, oh, look, this is the road that they were on, the desert road. It's that gap between here and here. Okay? But if you turn, oh, look, I've got more pictures than I thought. This is what happens when you prepare too far ahead. But here's a kind of desert road. I don't know if it was this one, but this is a desert road in Israel. Okay, and look, it twists and turns, and you can kind of imagine the kind of landscape it might have been where they met. Not very good for walking along. So this is the section that the eunuch was reading. And as you can see, right, it's also to be found in Isaiah 53, right? So we have an Old Testament and a New Testament, and Isaiah's in the Old Testament. It's way back there. If you want to look at it, you can find it. If you want to know where it is and you don't know, I'll tell you about it later. But what's important is that he was reading the part of the holy book that the Jews would have read. And he was from Ethiopia. And the Jews settled and lived, the nation of Israel by birth, those people who were born into being a Jew, settled in Israel, near Jerusalem. Okay, that was where God took them and planted them. But there were people who came to a Jewish faith, even at that point, not by birth. And they were scattered far wider. And we believe that actually there was people like that even in Africa, in Ethiopia, what we now, that area of Ethiopia that we now call that area of Africa that I had that blotch on that's now Sudan. So actually he was a Jew, but not by birth. That's what I think anyway. If he'd gone to Jerusalem to worship, where the seat of Judah, the kind of centre of all Jewish teaching would be, and he was reading Jewish scripture, I think he must have had an understanding and part of a Jewish faith. I think he must have done, even though he was from Ethiopia and not a Jew by birth. And that's important. He had some understanding already of what it meant to be a person of faith, to believe in one God. And I think that's actually quite important for our story here today. There is a problem, though. Because he was a eunuch, okay, that's to say he'd been castrated. Because of that, as far as the Jewish people were concerned, he was not a whole person. Okay, that is to say, his humanity was not entirely 100% intact. Not just physically, but there's a spiritual element as far as they're concerned to this as well. In other words, there was something about him that they thought wasn't quite 100% as God intended. And for that reason, he wouldn't have been able to go right into the holiest part of the temple and join with the other people. He wouldn't have been able to join in with all of the other Jews and parts of the temple that they would have been able to go in. He would have had to stay in the court of the Gentiles in order to worship. So there's something here. He's not fully allowed to participate in worship, although clearly, by the fact he's determined to make that massive journey and the fact that he wants to read about their God in these scriptures, there's something really intentional, really, that he wants to do, but he's being stopped to do it in the way that everybody else can do it. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt like, actually, there must be something wrong with you? Have you ever felt, maybe I can't worship God in this way? Maybe I can't be a part of a church in this way? Maybe there's something not quite right with me, something that I'm not doing, something wrong with my body, something wrong with the way I view myself, something wrong with the way I view other people. I wonder if that's how he felt, and I expect it probably was. So what happens? Philip meets this man on the road, and he says, he feels prompted by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit says, go and talk to this carriage. We've been talking in the Alpha course, and Roger's been coming and doing some Alpha, taking part in Alpha with us, about, we were talking just this week, how does God guide us? How do we know what God's trying to tell us? And we said one of the ways is you can feel, sometimes, occasionally, people hear a genuine voice, feel like they hear a genuine voice in their ear. Sometimes, it's a deep-seated gut feeling that actually there's a real peace about what it's telling you. It isn't just something that you feel and, or that might be right. It's something that you just kind of know, if I do this, it feels okay. I'm not going to feel uneasy about having done it. It's going to be good to do. It's something that's totally right. And I think that's what happens here, is that Philip gets that sense, and he comes and he walks over to this carriage to talk to him. And he says, "Hi, what are you doing there? What are you reading?" And the eunuch says, "Oh, I'm reading this passage." And Philip says, "Oh, do you know what that means?" And the eunuch says, "Well, how can I possibly know what it means? No one's ever explained it to me." There is no shame in saying, "I don't understand this bit of the Bible." Okay? Let's get that right out there. We can be too proud sometimes. We can think, "Oh my goodness, I'm a Christian. I should know all the bits of the Bible and what they all mean." Maybe, if you're a Christian. Or maybe if you're not a Christian, you think, "Oh, I couldn't possibly ask those Christian what that means. I'd just look like an idiot." No, I don't know what some of the bits of the Bible means. Okay? Right? You ask me to preach from Revelation, and I'll say, "Not today. Maybe another time. Thanks very much." Because some of it's really baffling. Okay? And I'm prepared to put my cards on the table and say that to you. So don't be afraid. Sometimes we need people to help explain. I wonder what Philip said. Okay? What Philip said. Well, we know that he explained the gospel. It says he explained the good news about Jesus. And he started with that passage. I'm going to have a go at working out, trying to show you the kind of things that I wonder if Philip might have said to that eunuch in the carriage in just a moment. But the other thing I want you to think about is the fact that after he'd explained that passage, the eunuch saw water by the side of the road and said, "Here we go, what's to stop me being baptized now?" Now, Philip doesn't say, "Oh, have you got any spare clothes? Have you brought something to get wet in?" And he doesn't say, "Right, I'm going to ask you some questions to find out if you're ready to be baptized." And he doesn't say, "Well, I tell you what, we need to go to church for 4 weeks and we'll have some baptismal classes and we're going to explain it all properly and then you can decide if you're ready for baptism." And he doesn't say, "Are you complete in the eyes of God?" He doesn't say, "Is there anything wrong with your body?" He doesn't say, "Where are you from? What's your race? What's your colour? What's your creed? What's your culture? What's your gender?" He doesn't say anything of that. He just says, "Let's go and do it." It's not the end of a journey. It's not the final point of saying, "I'm ready to be a Christian." It's not the final end and saying, "Now I'm perfect and I'm clean and I'm ready to go into worship." It's a way of saying something else. That this is a step. That I've made some first steps and I'm ready to take more. And I want to show people that I'm ready. So, I wonder, what brings about this change? What is it that makes the eunuch all of a sudden say, "There's some water, can I be baptised?" Okay, well, I wonder, let's have a look. This is what it says. I'm going to read from the Message version here, which is a contemporary version of the Bible, modern language. Some of you will find it less familiar, some of you might find it a bit easier to grab hold of. Okay, this is a version from the Message. "As a sheep led to slaughter, and quiet as a lamb being sheared, he was silent, saying nothing. He was mocked and put down, never got a fair trial. But who now can count his kin since he's been taken away from the earth? As a sheep led to slaughter, and quiet as a lamb being sheared, he was silent, saying nothing." And the eunuch says, "Who is that talking about? Is that Isaiah talking about himself?" And Philip says, "No, that's Jesus." Because actually, when Jesus was taken before Pontius Pilate, when people thought that actually there was something dangerous about Jesus and they needed to get rid of him, despite the fact he hadn't actually done anything wrong, they led him to slaughter. This is what it says in the Gospel of Mark. It says, "Very early in the morning, the chief priests with the elders, the teachers of the law, and a whole Sanhedrin," that's the Jewish council, the Jewish high priests, if you like, "they made their plans. They bound Jesus and led him away." They led him like a lamb to slaughter. And they handed him over to Pilate, who would act as a judge in this instance. And when he got to Pilate, he was silent. Like a lamb, he was silent. This is what Pilate says. "Are you the king of the Jews?" This is the charge that's been brought against Jesus. The Jews have said, "No one can tell you they are king. It's up to us to declare that. It's not up to him to declare that." And he's been going around saying it. He pretends to be our king and he's not the one. And Pilate says, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Look at Jesus' answer. It's not yes, I am, and it's not no, I'm not. It's you have said so. The chief priests, that's the Sanhedrin, accused him of many things. So again, Pilate, acting a bit like a judge, says, aren't you going to answer? See how many things they're accusing you of. Now, let's be honest, if I say to my boys, okay, which one of you knocked over that glass? Okay, none of them will say nothing. None of them will say it was me. Most of them will say it was him. Okay? So even if you're guilty or if you're innocent, you tend to say, whether you're telling the truth or lying, you tend to give an answer when faced with a direct accusation. And I'll tell you, I get really defensive. Okay? And it's one of my faults. If somebody says to me, you haven't done that, and I have done it, I am quick, and I admit this, I am quick to say, I did do that actually, because I take personal offence at it. Now, I need to deal with that, and I recognise that, and I'm sorry to those of you who've been on the wrong end of my defensive nature in the past. I do it a lot, so I'm sorry. But Jesus doesn't do that. He says nothing. Jesus made no reply, and Pilate was amazed. Why was he silent? Why was this lamb before slaughter? This is what's going to happen to him. He's going to get killed. He's faced with these accusations, and he's going to get killed. And he doesn't say it wasn't me, and he doesn't say it was me or it was the other guy. He says nothing. I think he's silent because it's up to us to say who he is. And it's up to us to say whether Jesus is guilty or innocent. It's up to us to acknowledge that actually he's king not just of the Jews, but maybe it's time for us to acknowledge he's king of our life as well. We don't live a blameless life like Jesus did. We haven't satisfied the example set before us that God has set in Jesus. We mess up. But maybe it's time for us to say, do you know what, the mistakes I've made, I want to ask for forgiveness for those mistakes and I want to move on. Maybe it's time to take another step along that path and admit that Jesus is our Saviour, he is King of our lives. And we want to mark that. And we want to show that to other people. You know, when the crowd are given that chance, the crowd in front of Pontius Pilate are given that chance to proclaim that Jesus is king, they don't. Despite the fact that many of them, people in that crowd, would have been there saying and following Jesus, being there at his miracles. They don't say, yes, he's the king. We've seen the miracles he's done. We believe he's God made man and he's come to save us. They bay for his blood. Crucify him, shout the crowd. Crucify him. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews? Asks Pilate, knowing it was out of self-interest that the chief priests had handed Jesus. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to get Pilate to release Barabbas instead, a common thief standing next to Jesus effectively. What shall I do then with the one you call King of the Jews? Crucify him, they shout. And Pilate says, why? What crimes he committed? And they shout all the louder, crucify him. And wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate then releases Barabbas, has Jesus flogged, and hands him over to crucified. Are we going to stand there and shout for Jesus' death now? Or can we now stand and say we want him to be our king? Can we say we're ready to proclaim him as king and we're not going to get it right? If Jesus was the lamb led to the slaughter, the lamb who'll be the sacrifice for our sins, maybe we can now proclaim him as the person to follow, the king to follow in our life. That final verse in Isaiah read, who now can count his kin since he's been taken from the earth? His kin, his descendants, those people who are his family, his brothers and sisters. That's us. We're the brothers and sisters of Jesus. If we've said we want to follow him, we're part of that family now. And I think when Philip was talking to the eunuch, he would have said that Jesus' last words were about his family. These are Jesus' last words, not the last words before he died on the cross, but after he died on the cross, he left an empty tomb. He rose again from the dead, miraculously. And while he was still in this second alive, this new life, he went and spoke to his disciples. And these are the last recorded words we have of him, pretty much. Actually, they're not, thinking about it. But they're nearly. And this is what he said. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I wonder if that's where Philip leaves his story with that conversation, by saying, that's the final thing that Jesus commanded us to do. To baptize them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's then the prompt for the eunuch to say, well, hang on, there's water over there. I'm ready to believe. I've heard about Jesus. I'm ready to say he's my Lord and Saviour. I'm forgiven now for the things that I've done. This is my king. And don't forget, this is somebody in the service of a monarch from another country. And now he's saying that Jesus is his king. Philip doesn't stand in the eunuch's way of baptism. In stark contrast to what's stopping him from worshipping the temple, he says, no, nothing's stopping you from getting in here. Nothing's stopping you from being part of the family of Jesus. Here we see a mark that the Jesus way is fully acceptable to all, no matter what other people might say or think. And if that's you, if you think you're ready to accept Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, if you believe he died in your place to forgive you for your sins, the things you've done wrong to God, in God's eyes, then there's nothing to stop you being baptised either. Often the narrative, the story that's told, and one I've told myself, is that this part of the story of the Ethiopian eunuch is the beginning of his faith. In my reading, that was what I was going to say. I was going to say to you, when I started out on this sermon, that it's the beginning of this man's faith. But actually, I came to a different realisation. He already had a faith. He had a Jewish understanding of what faith was. And this is a new step for him. Hearing that story about Jesus and understanding is a new step. He's on a faith journey already. And this is one more step. And do you know what? I think that's where Roger and Les are today as well. This is one more step along a journey of faith for them. I don't think it's the beginning. And I don't think it's... I'll tell you what, it's not the end. I'll tell you that now. Okay, it's definitely not the end. Because you'll keep growing. But maybe it's another step. And I think that's a remarkable event that hasn't happened today, understanding that Jesus died for them. But it's a step that today they're going to publicly proclaim through that idea of dying to the old life and having a new life, going into a coffin of water and coming back out again. Baptism marks that moving of old life without Jesus and moving into a new life, a death to the old and resurrection to the new, a putting to bed of old lies and old ways and awakening to a new life. I'm going to show you a video now. It's a video by a secular musician called Olafur Arnalds, and it powerfully uses a different significant event in someone's life as a metaphor for old deaths and new beginnings. And I've just got one more thing, very quickly, just two or three sentences to share with you after we've seen the video. It's 4 minutes and we're going to see the whole thing. Here we go. Thank you. I find that quite a powerful metaphor for the idea of dying to one life and coming to life in a new one. A symbol of something that might have happened some time ago, but that actually publicly you're marking now. Maybe today's a day where you want to make a mark on your faith journey, a signpost. Maybe you want to stand today and declare something that you've known for a long time, or maybe something that's come true for you today or recently. This is a work in progress. It's not some finished article. For most people, baptism becomes a beginning. And if it's something that for you happened a long time ago, maybe you have a need to renew your faith or start out again, or maybe today just happens to be the day that you're going to make a commitment, mark a commitment that you made some time ago, you'll have a chance later today to come and experience that baptism as well. For Roger and Les, I think there's something very important I need to say in the light of that video. You don't need to get naked. Roger. No, no, it's all fine. And you know, I think, you know, for me, that video is great because it shows that reaching towards the light and reaching up and reaching out for something new to grasp. So, thank you. We're going to sing now. I'm going to invite the band to come back. They've been brilliant today. Thank you very much, guys, for all the hard work I know you'll have put in. We're going to sing Roger's Choice, which is Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. And we're going to be singing this. And as we do this, Phil and I will probably be taking our shoes and socks off, getting ready. And the kids are going to come back in, ready to hear Roger and Les's testimonies. A short bit about why they're doing today, what they're doing. We're going to look forward to that. So will you join me to stand as we sing our next song? That'd be great. Thank you.
Maybe you'd like to take a seat, and let me give you a little heads up. We're going to hear from Roger and Les. Roger's currently climbing out of the bathroom window out there somewhere. I don't know what's... I assume he'll be back at some point. While that's happening, at the end of the testimony, what we normally do is we believe Jesus is alive. He died, was buried, and he rose again. He's alive today. Jesus says in the Bible, he's the same yesterday, today and forever, that he's alive, he's real. So we believe he still speaks. So if at the end of these testimonies you have a word for either Roger or Les, maybe a verse, you don't have to, trust me, I know what it's like, you can't remember where in the Bible it is, don't worry about that. But if you have maybe a word or a verse for either of these guys at their baptism, we'd just love to hear that. So we're just going to open that up to you after their testimony, okay? So that would be wonderful. Now I'm going to invite Roger up first. Up you come, Roger, who's had a busy weekend in public speaking, because he had a half-hour lecture you were doing yesterday, weren't you? Yeah. American Civil War. The T-shirt is the giveaway. Come on up, Roger. Excellent. Now, do you want to hold this, or shall I hold this for you?
You can all hear me, can you?
Yeah. Hang on to it.
Then we can record you.
Oh, can you still hear me?
Well,
if you can't hear me, you can always change places with somebody that can't. Anyway, thank you so much for coming. This is such a joyous occasion. And can I just, we've got my whole family here, so the icing on the cake is hello, Bethany. Hello, young Connor. Grandchildren. Right, anyway. Are we all ready? Abraham Lincoln once said, "I am not going to make a speech for many substantial reasons. The most substantial being, I don't have a speech to make. Like Mr. Lincoln, neither have I, but I would like to say a few things from my heart. I had a very stifling religious upbringing. C of E church 3 times every Sunday. A reluctant choir boy. My parents were British Israelites, so I got dragged along to their meetings as well. And if Billy Graham was in town, that meant a pilgrimage up to the White City or Haringey. When my friends were off to the pictures, I was dragged off to church. So religion became a penance to be endured. I wasn't even allowed to listen to the radio. Only kid in our school that couldn't talk about Hancock's half hour on a Monday. Now, please don't get me wrong. I loved my parents very much. They were really good people. Even if I did sometimes think they belonged to the Surrey branch of a Spanish Inquisition. When I left school and started work, hooray! I could do as I liked on Sundays. That meant playing cricket, going to the pictures, and even having a lie-in if I felt like it. Did I miss church? Certainly not. Life was great, thank you very much. Well, you can take the man away from a lord, but you can't take the lord away from a man. I never completely lost it. In other words, he never gave up on me. I married in church, my children were christened, and I occasionally went to church at Christmas, which to me seemed to be like enough to keep my spiritual batteries charged. I was never sinful in the sense that I robbed banks or committed high treason, but I probably compiled a fair old list of misdeeds, not necessarily illegal in secular law, but in God's teaching, the less said the better. I was a fool to myself and not always fair to those who loved me, and for that I am really, truly sorry. When our Robert had his accident, I prayed for the first time in ages, and happily my prayers were answered. I started to reassess my life. I really think I'm like a piece of blotting paper, slowly absorbing God's teachings. Our dear friends and neighbours, Derek and Lila, invited us to the Friday Lunch Club and later to church here. I've known Derek for 60 years, so God really must work in mysterious ways sometimes. That one sunk in, has it, Derek? There we go. And I'm very grateful to you both. I really am. Thank you, Derek. Thank you, Lila. We've got to flop this over. It's wonderful to come to church to worship Jesus from choice. Now, I'm a bit of a grizzled old sheep to come back to the fold, so I hope the Lord makes sure the gate is shut and there is no escape this time. I was very impressed with Phil's sermon about us having a second chance, so I hope to make this my chance to wipe the slate clean and begin again. Being baptised is not the end of a story, but a new beginning. I know I have the support of all you wonderful people to help me along the way. Now, if I go wrong, the Lord will say, "Where are you going, Rog? Take my arm, trust me, and I will show you the way to everlasting life." I've always been a cup half full rather than a half empty sort of chap, and I want to be a good Christian, but above all, I want to be a cheerful Christian. Why wouldn't one want to be with God's promise that all the troubles and trials of this world will end, and his kingdom will reign here in glory? My belief is a simple one, but that is what I truly believe. Thank you.
Stay for a second. Yeah, don't get away with that. Yes, hang around. I got a verse for Rog, but there may be other folks who have a verse. It's interesting, as you talk about your relationship with God over the years, a lot of people think that, you know, you become a Christian, it's just like that. It's just nice, steady progress. And the reality is, for most of us, that our life with Jesus looks a bit like that. And that's okay. That's life, and God understands that, so praise God. Now, does anybody have a verse they like, or a word they like to give to Rog before he gets baptized? Anybody? Yeah, thanks, Fee. I've got Amen. Brilliant. Thank you, Fee. Poppy. Yeah, great. Amen. Thank you, George. Brilliant. Good eye. Hey, great. That verse is for you. You talk about second chances, and the verse that just comes to me is 2 Corinthians 5:17. I only know that because I looked it up earlier. Which just says, if anybody is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone. Wiped, a bit like that, just wiped clean. The new has come. So, bless you, Rog, at your baptism. God bless you, mate. Amen. Bless you. Take a seat, and we're going to hear from Les now, and Les is just going to come and explain why he's getting baptized and what Les believes. Yeah, I'll hold it. You read. Yeah, that's fine. You're all right. Come over here. Stand behind there so you don't fall. That's it.
I truly believe in God the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I want to follow the teaching and example of the Lord with the help of the Church and the Holy Spirit, including the Holy Communion. I realize none of us is really worthy of this. I also pray for the ability and faith to accept God's will, whether I understand or like it or not, with the strength to forgive others as we all hope for forgiveness says ourselves. Therefore, as Jesus urged his followers to do, I wish to be baptized and will do my best to follow his teaching. God realizes it with a difficult more difficult thing it is to be a really good Christian. But Jesus, with the help of the Holy Ghost, the apostles, and the Church, has left us in the Bible a wonderful legacy of advice and example, and given us all the things a Christian would need. This includes humility, patience, love, and understanding. I feel we all also need wisdom, faith, and courage. Grace and salvation are also, in my opinion, essential, together with prayer, peace, and joy, plus praise and song. I truly believe in God's great love and mercy and guidance. I know I can always return to God's Church unworthy as I am, but more of the aforementioned is interest as needed. They are all paid for by Jesus on a cross a long time ago. However, I do believe the Lord would much appreciate humble gratitude and genuine repentance for the sins and weaknesses as well, in return the magnificent things he has done for us. I submit myself to the will of the Lord and look forward, hopefully not too soon, to truly seeing the Lord in all his glory and uniting with all those who have praised before me into the kingdom of heaven. Thanks to the grace of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Les. Well done. Well done. Now, Les, you're a member of St. Nicholas Church, aren't you, down the road, and a regular attender down there, but you came to a baptism, our last baptism, and you saw it and you realised that you'd never made that choice yourself to be baptised. So you're here today, which is terrific to have you with us as a member of another fellowship that we can bless you and do this for you. So it's wonderful. Fantastic. Does anybody have a verse for Les? A little verse that you'd like to read to him from the Lord just to encourage him today? Yeah. Thank you, Debbie. Brilliant. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I've got one from the book of Romans. Any more, folks, before I... Is that right? Great. Thank you. Let me read this one to you. This is from Paul. This is what he advises us as believers, as followers of Jesus. It says, work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically, Les. Rejoice in your confident hope. Be patient in trouble. Keep on praying. And when God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. So God bless you as you follow him in his lifestyle as one of his followers. That's Romans 12, 11 to 13. Bless you, bro. Maybe you'd like to take a seat, and we're just going to get ready to baptize these guys. And because it's quite informal, if any of the young people, any of the children would like to come forward, if you can't see where you are, just hang around over here. That's great. There's a camera over there, so try and avoid getting in the way of that so other folks can see. But feel free to come over and just watch. Do not fall in. That could be said far too late. But there you go. Okay. And if anybody else would like, if you want to take a photo of Les or of Roger, if your family here today and you want to do that, just come over here and feel free. Just take a photo. That's fine. Okay. Roger, it's great to get to know you over the Alpha course and to get to know you as friends, like Derek and Lila have invited you back to church, and to see you starting to reconnect with Jesus and to start following him again. And it's our privilege to baptise you today. We have three questions. The first one is this. Do you confess that Jesus is the Lord and the forgiver of your life? Amen. And do you repent of your sins?
I certainly do.
Amen. And in this, your baptism, will you try, with God's strength and help, to follow him all the days of your life?
I surely will.
Amen. Roger, it's our privilege and our honour to baptise you in the name of the Father who made you, in the name of the Son who saves you, and in the name of the Spirit who will walk with you every step of the way. Amen.
Thank you.
here just to pray for Roger at this moment, this step forward in his life with Jesus.
Our Father, we thank you for Roger. We thank you for the step that he's taken this morning. I want to thank you that he's become a friend in the last few weeks through Alpha and just getting to meet him, hearing all the things that he's got to say, Father, his questions and his thoughts. Father, would you now just be very close and real to him as he continues the journey with you? And Father, that he would be able to look back at this sort of this chapter, this milestone, and just remember your goodness, your grace, and the things that you've done for him, Father. Would you now go with him, protect him, and encourage him on his journey with you? In your name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, man.
Les, it's been great to get to know you, and as someone who pops into the fellowship here and who popped in on that day when other folks were baptised, it's brilliant that you've decided yourself that you want to make that decision to publicly declare who Jesus is to you. So three questions, just publicly before folks today. Les, do you acknowledge Jesus is the leader and the forgiver of your life? Amen. And at this your baptism, do you repent of your sins? Amen. And from this day forward, with God's help, the help of the Holy Spirit, will you follow him wherever he leads?
I will.
Amen. Les, it's our privilege to baptise you in the name of the Father, your Father, who created you, the Son, who saves and forgives you, and the Spirit, who will empower you every moment. Amen.
Amen.
Jim, if he'd pray for Les. Oh, this is baptism. Thank you, Jim.
Yeah. Special thanks today that you have shared your faith through the waters of baptism. Lord, we ask that you will continue to be with Les as he witnesses and makes known your word through his own church, St. Nicholas. We give thanks that he made this conscious decision that infant baptism was not sufficient to declare his full faith in you. We ask that you will be with him. We do not come as under one label, but as combined people wanting to witness in and around this place. Be with Les, Lord, as he, in his place of work, tomorrow and in his future days, that he may be given opportunity and ability to witness to you amongst those people he works with, knowing that he may have to withstand jokes, fun and criticism, but Lord, be with him at all times, that he may be known as a person that can be relied upon, that can be trusted and is willing to help others. Also, Lord, we ask that you will be with Sheila, that she may support him at all times, and together they may be witnesses in this place and in this area. We ask this in Jesus' name as we continue to pray. Amen.
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 Father, we thank you for Les. We thank you, Lord, that he is maybe not a part of our fellowship as such, but he's part of the universal church, Lord, your people. Lord, I pray that you would bless him, that you would fill him, Lord, with your joy, that you'd fill him, Lord, with your spirit. Lord, that you'll bless him each day as he gives himself over to you in obedience each day. Lord, would you just continue to work in his life. Lord, we thank you that we have the promise that you who began a good work in him will continue that good work in him until the day that you return. So, Lord, as really we pray now, Lord, that you empower him, you strengthen him, give him boldness, Lord, and bless him, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for Les. And we thank you, Lord, for Jesus and this wonderful picture today of a new life that you've given Les in his death and resurrection. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So you've seen that, you've heard both testimonies from Les and from Roger, and you heard about the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. And I said if you felt like you needed to respond today, there'd be an opportunity. This is that opportunity today. If you want to publicly mark today something that's happened on your faith journey, either today or recently, but more particularly, I think, echoing what's happened for Roger and Les, maybe you want to mark today something that's happened before, and today wants to be that day, you are very welcome. The baptismal pool is full. Phil and I are here. We are ready to baptise anybody else who would like to take that step today to make that public mark of a declaration. I think you probably need to not be under the age. Actually, I'm not going to give an age, but Max, I think you ought to wait a bit. We're going to get the music group to play. We're going to sing Mighty to Save. If you feel a call to be baptised, don't worry. If you haven't got any clothes with you, I've got a spare set with me. I deliberately brought an extra set in case and all that kind of stuff. So we can sort something out, okay? But if you want to take that step today, if you think the Spirit's prompting you, if you've got that deep-seated gut feeling, act on it today. May I encourage you to do that? But if you would like to act, please come up in the first couple of verses and refrains, the first couple of verses of this. And then Phil and I will get out of the pool. Whether you're getting in or not, watch out, there'll be water on the floor as you come down this passageway.
Thank you. you have more questions about baptism, then come and speak to Phil or I or any of the other people who you know are regulars of this church, or maybe even wider than that. Just don't be afraid to ask somebody for what you think might be happening in your life and what you think God might be saying to you today. We'd love to help you work that out. So please join us. There's going to be tea and coffee served straight through this door here. As I said, the floor will probably be wet, so take care as you walk through it. Someone can always get your tea and coffee for you and bring them back here if that's easier for you. Thank you very much for coming. Do share your congratulations with Roger and Les when they reappear in their dry clothes, and I'll just leave you with a blessing. May Jesus the Son and may the Holy Spirit all seek to guide you. May they be part of your life. And may you go out this week with a renewed sense of purpose and a renewed understanding of who they are and what God, as three in one, wants to do in your life. In his name, amen. I've just been reminded there is actually something else I need to do, and that I believe Roger's come, as he said, with his grandchildren. And Connor, are you here? It's Connor's birthday on Tuesday, I understand. Connor's going to be 10. Happy birthday, Connor, for Tuesday, and thank you very much for coming. I hope you've had a good time this morning. Thank you.